This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Good morning and welcome everyone to Business by the Bay, where we talk to successful business leaders and discuss various challenges businesses face and possible solutions. I am Ajay Sani and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. It is a boutique-style local payroll service provider for small businesses. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners, and they are also helping qualified businesses get ERTC, Employee Retention Credit. The credit is up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and up to $7,000 per employee per quarter for the first three quarters of 2021. For details, please call Payroll Vault at 925-273-7020. Today, I'm very happy to be here in the studio with my friend Lorna, who's having a very diverse educational background, working with seniors and really in the healthcare space when it comes to social welfare, gerontology, and public administration. Lorna really helps patients who have terminal illness and their families navigate the end-of-life journey with dignity, comfort, and support with the assistance of Continuum Hospice. She is very much involved in the local community, supporting various organizations. She is a member to the CCC, Contra Costa County Advisory Council on Aging, commissioner for the Commission on Aging for the City of Pleasant Hill, board member for Meals on Wheels, board member for the Walnut Creek Chamber of Commerce, co-chair for the East Bay Veterans Community Partnership, and assembly member of the California Senior Legislature. Good morning, Lorna. How are you?
Good morning, AJ. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. So let's jump into it because we have a lot to cover. The very first question I have is, like, if unfortunately we face a serious illness, it can be very overwhelming for us and the family. So why don't we start from a common person point of view, and maybe you can explain what hospice care is, what are some common diagnoses for hospice, and what are the hospice indicators?
Wow, that's a big question, but let me start with what hospice is. Hospice is a philosophy. Naturally, death is a part of living, and what hospice does, it is supporting the family and the patient during that difficult journey. Deals with a holistic, as in spiritual, emotional, physical, and sociology. So it's dealing with the whole part of the person and the family. The hospice changes the focus of the disease. It stops when the prognosis is 6 months or shorter to live. You can get a diagnosis from a doctor and be eligible for hospice. Mm-hmm. Hospice does not mean that death is imminent. My mother, for instance, was on hospice for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. What hospice does is it changes the focus from the disease and treatment options to comfort care and making sure that the person is comfortable and that their needs are met. Let's see, hospice is also a program where it's holistic and it involves like interdisciplinary team of experts. Doctor, you have the nurse, you have the home health aide, you have the spiritual advisor, you have mm-hmm. the social worker. All these services are available under the hospice umbrella. The history of hospice actually began way back in the Middle Ages, but most recently in 1967, the first hospice was started in London.
Okay.
And in 1974, the first hospice was founded here in Connecticut. Hospice became a Medicare benefit in 1983. So hospice is covered under Medicare. It's also covered under Medicaid,
yeah.
Also Veterans Administration, and also private insurance. One of the key factors of hospice is that the families do not pay anything. As a Medicare benefit mm-hmm. or an insurance benefit, it's 100% free. And most people don't know that.
Right. And it's like, it's not age dependent, right? It's like any age?
Any age. If it's 65 or over, it would be under Medicare. If it's a younger age, then it would be either through Medi-Cal or private insurance. But you definitely, hospice is a benefit covered under your insurance.
Very good. This is like, you know, really very useful information because it can be just too overwhelming. When the news comes, it's like, you know, what to do is just at that point of time, if people have the information, they can take the...
Right. When you get that information, you're in crisis. Yeah. You don't know what to do or where to turn. Some of the common diagnosis for hospice is Alzheimer's, dementia. 39% of hospice patients are dementia, Alzheimer's patients. Mm-hmm. A hospice also is cancer. It covers ALS, Parkinson's, cognitive heart failure, stroke or liver or kidney disease. So it covers a lot of diagnosis, and it's basically hospice can be started with a referral from a doctor. That's the first step.
Right. So what challenges do you see patients and family members face when they realize that the illness is very serious and there may not be a good cure?
Probably one of the main challenges is denial. People are in crisis and they're in denial, and they just wait too long to bring on hospice services. Hospice is there to help you deal with that end-of-life journey, both for the patient and the family, and people just wait too long. It's tragic that the average number of days that a person is on hospice is only 19 days. Oh. People are waiting way too long, where they could have all these wonderful supportive services around them way before 19 days. The other, I think, challenge is the fact that people don't, you know, the financial challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a whole new set of circumstances that a family has to deal with.
Yeah.
And if you aren't aware of the benefits of hospice, that it is covered under your insurance. In addition to the services, hospice also covers the medical equipment, such as the hospital bed or the commode or the wheelchair. And it also covers medication. Mm-hmm. And it also covers personal items, such as pull-up briefs, the ointments, the gloves, etc. So there's a lot of reasons why a family should look to hospice to help them on this journey.
Right. And I think sometimes it's just people consider it as a negative feeling that we are giving up by accepting this. So why to be negative? And it's not about negative, positive. Yeah. It's about like getting the right amount of care. And as you said, I mean, there could be like, you know, a person could be there for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, who knows for how long. It's, you know, life and death is something that we don't control. What we can control is like, how do we deal with the circumstances and maintain dignity and quality?
Absolutely. The misconceptions around hospice are very strong. First of all, like you said, hospice is such a negative word that people don't even like the word hospice. We really need to rebrand the word hospice because it's a wonderful service for the patient and their family. The other misconception is physicians wait too long to refer patients to hospice. I think it's important to note that under a 10-year study with John Hopkins, doctors overwhelmingly did not want invasive measures. 86% did not want to have any artificial ventilation. 79% didn't want not invasive treatment. And 82% wanted pain management. So doctors themselves want comfort. They want hospice. The other thing, another misconception is the fear that the drugs may be discontinued, which is not true. Drugs are continued if that is what's needed, like to continue with their day-to-day living. Drugs for like a radiation or chemotherapy, those kinds of drugs are discontinued, but maintenance drugs are not discontinued, and they are also paid for under hospice.
Right.
The other one of the misconceptions is that people think hospice is a place, and it's not a place. Hospice comes to wherever the patient lives, whatever they call home. So it could be in a boarding care, it could be at a skilled nursing facility, it could be at the home.
Yeah.
80% of people want to die in their home.
You mentioned like some of the services that are provided under hospice. Can you briefly, you know, explain those services so that people get to like, you know, a little bit of a detailed overview, and especially what your organization offers?
Okay, well, hospice is all regulated. All hospices are regulated under Medicare guidelines. So we all do a lot of the same things. However, I like to think that Continuum Hospice does a much better job than other people, but generally you mm-hmm. have a team of experts. You have a director, a medical director. You have a nurse who will come visit the patients mm-hmm. once or twice a week. You have a home health aide that will come once or twice or three times a week to bathe and personal care. A tremendous benefit is the social worker who, mm-hmm. who is there for both the patient and the family and can kind of guide the family on what to expect when a person starts transitioning and what to not fear. That you also have a spiritual chaplain if you want to use that.
Okay.
All these services are available. The family and the patient chooses what they want. For us, for Continuum Hospice, we have a music therapist.
Okay.
And it's been clinically proven that music can help benefit a mood. It'll alter behavior. Should there be agitation, it manages stress. Music can do all kinds of things for the patient. And we found it to be a tremendous piece in our program to offer our patients. The other thing that we offer is virtual reality, where we can come and put the 3D goggles on the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of want to go back to the place where they were born or mm-hmm. want to watch a baseball game or animals. It's endless what they can do. But the main thing is it brings a smile to the face of the patient
yeah.
and gives them something to look forward to in their day. We have, 24/7 coverage with our triage nurses. A care plan for each patient is adjusted as a patient declines or begins to thrive. We have patients who thrive and actually graduate out of hospice. So if a nurse is coming once a week and there's a decline, the nurse will start coming a couple times a week. And a unique piece for Continuum Hospice is that when a patient starts transitioning, we have a nurse visit every day for that patient to make sure that they are in comfort and that their pain is monitored and that all the needs are met by both the patient and the family.
So when you say transitioning, you mean that the condition is kind of, it's declining?
Yes, right? Yes.
And then I'm just trying to ask these questions for the benefit of the uh-huh. listeners who may not be aware of some of those things. So you also mentioned like graduate from hospice. What exactly does it mean?
That means that under hospice care, that person has improved so much that they now do not meet the hospice eligibility guidelines and mm-hmm. they graduate.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that they can not come back on to hospice mm-hmm. at any time.
Okay.
So, and that brings up another, I think, important point to make, that if you go on hospice, at any time you can stop hospice services. So at any time you can take that control if a new drug was discovered or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Once you're on hospice, it doesn't mean you're forever on hospice. So you have control with a phone call to stop hospice services.
Yeah, that's a very important point. And I was listening to how you were explaining. Thank you for that. And some of the words that you use, like nurses and chaplain, spirituality, those I think everybody would know. But you also mentioned social worker, and you said home health aide. So again, for the benefit of our listeners, what is a social worker? What is a home health aide?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, a home health aide is a person who will come in and bathe the mm-hmm. patient and attend to their personal needs. And we visit based on what the patient needs are. We visit them as often as necessary. A social worker is somebody who will talk with the patient, but as much or more importantly, a social
right.
worker will be talking to the family.
Okay.
And as you know, families are very complex. The families do not always have the same viewpoint,
yeah.
each member in the family. So the social worker walks that line and tries to keep all members of the family on the same page in terms of dealing what's best for the patient.
Right. We are here in the Silicon Valley, so maybe we can say that a social worker is kind of a consultant who can guide the family and the patient when it comes to finding answers, whatever they're struggling with, providing them help, guidance.
Absolutely.
And connecting with the right resources.
Absolutely. And I've never thought of a social worker as a consultant, but that's a very good analogy. An example would be also, you say, providing resources. If we have a patient that's living alone, maybe they need to have Meals on Wheels delivered to them. Maybe they need help in making funeral arrangements. You know, a social worker will attend all of those chores.
Right, right. And home health aid, what is the frequency? How much time they spend and how many times on average they
come?
Yeah,
that's another really good question, AJ. Thank you. Our home health aides are not on a time schedule.
Okay.
So when a home health aide comes to visit the patient wherever their home is, even if they're in a skilled nursing facility or a board in care, that when that person is there, when our aide is there, they will then bathe the person and take care of their personal needs while they're there for the visit. So even though they would be in a skilled nursing facility where technically that would be done anyway, our home health aide comes in and kind of does that little extra touch.
That's great help.
And they're all trained. All these people are significantly trained for the services they provide. We have a very high level of standards for the people that we work with.
Great. So what are some of the challenges that your organization face? Because every industry has, you know, some unique challenges and some generic challenges that every business would face. So what would you say?
One of the challenges, and I think we feel it all over the place, is the workforce, having enough nurses and having enough caregivers. And I think that's felt in all areas of care. So that's a challenge. And at Continuing Hospice, we have very high standards, so we just don't hire any caregiver or any nurse.
I mean,
we always say you can teach skill, but you can't teach compassion.
Yeah.
And compassion is very important when you're dealing with an end-of-life journey with the patient and their family.
Very true. Very true. So how do you try to solve these issues? And I guess the pandemic has made it even worse, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, it has. The workforce is still shrinking. It's not come back. And we follow all COVID protocols.
Yeah.
And that another layer of training that we have to do. I think that just we're constantly hiring, constantly looking for new people to add to our team. Continuum Hospice covers the Bay Area in many counties. So we have different offices around the Bay Area, and each office kind of runs on its own, but we're all there to support each other. So if we were to have a situation where we had a patient that needed assistance in Napa, but they were short of a nurse or whatever, we would triage a nurse to Napa and vice versa. So it's nice that we have members of teams around the Bay Area.
So basically the extended teams in that sense.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really good.
That extended team is all on the same page. So we're all talking the same Continuum Hospice language.
Right, right. So basically you maximize the available resources.
Absolutely. That's very good. Yeah. Yes, AJ, that's what we do.
That's great. So pretty much every industry is competitive, right? There are a lot of competitors. And this is a very sort of a very, very noble work that the hospice organizations are doing, helping out people who are really struggling during that difficult phase. And patients, they have the option to pick any hospice provider. So what do you think makes people pick Continuum Hospice?
I think that Continuum Hospice is, we get a lot of referrals from people who use Continuum Hospice in the past and they have referred us to a friend. That's always a great way to be chosen from the sea of hospices. I'll deviate for a second share with you that in California, there's a 3-year moratorium on hospices. And that's because there were so many hospice companies in California. The governor in October signed a bill that went into effect January 1st that put this moratorium on hospices.
So it means like for the next 3 years, there will be no new organization that would come into play?
Exactly, unless the bill is amended to be sooner.
Okay.
Right now, the state is auditing hospices. A comparison to make is in the state of Florida and New York, each of those states have about 50 to 53 hospice agencies.
Okay.
In the city, I believe it's Glendale, there's like 51 different hospices. In one city. And in Van Nuys, down south, there's like 55 in one city. So there's a very good reason for a moratorium because a lot of hospices grew up over the last couple years, families, you know, running hospices. And you know, so California, you know, legislature decided that we needed to put a moratorium, a hold on hospices.
Got it. That's good. To sort of make sure the organizations that are in place, the standards are maintained.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
And people get the right amount of care.
Absolutely.
Good, good. Yeah, so coming back to, like, you know, you mentioned that people are sort of the word of mouth, like when people get good experience, they are happy to make a recommendation when someone they know needs going to that state, so they say.
Yeah, and when you're in a hospital, you know, good protocol is to give the families a couple of names, a couple of hospice names to use. And that is also how, you know, as long as we continue to provide the care that we do and the standards that we have, we are on that list for hospitals to use us. One thing I want to note is that in a situation like Kaiser has their own hospice, but people also have choice. So a Kaiser patient does not have to use a Kaiser hospice. They can make choices to use other hospices, and Continuum Hospice works very closely with lots of Kaiser patients in providing hospice service.
That is very good, because I would say that having a choice where a person and the family are comfortable with, that's very important. And a lot of times it comes down to the initial interaction.
Absolutely.
And it could be a positive interaction and a negative interaction. Like in a hospital, if someone mentioned, like, you know, three or four or n number of hospice and organizations, and the family contacts the first one, it could be a great experience. They say, okay, we want to go with you. On the other hand, they may not like, and it could be an individual thing of preference. And when it comes to providing comfort, it's extremely important that the family and the patient gets connected in a way that, okay, this is the team that I'm willing to trust.
Yes, and also, it is possible to transfer hospice services. So if you do make a choice with a hospice that you go with, and you find out that there's it's not meeting your needs, you can't request to be transferred, and it happens all the time, to another hospice.
Okay.
So, you know,
you're not stuck.
You're not stuck. The consumer, i.e. the patient and the patient's family, does have that ability to transfer over to another hospice.
Very good. So, Lorna, what message do you have for businesses in general? I know healthcare is your sort of day in, day out kind of thing, but you have so much experience. So if any organization needs to be successful and fulfill its mission, what would you tell? What would you say?
I would say that you need to believe in your mission. You have to understand what your mission is. I think you need to have a commitment to service. And in the world of healthcare, I think you have to have a compassionate commitment to service. And these aren't just numbers. These are people and people's families. I think integrity is really, really important. And again, I think that that's why Continuum Hospice is as popular as it is, because our team operates with tremendous integrity. And then I think the last one would be just, you know, surround yourself with positive people. Because if you're swimming with positive people, it's much easier to deliver a gold standard of service.
Yeah, you mentioned some very good points. Because if we have compassion, we have integrity, we are surrounded by right people, no matter what the industry is, if we are passionate about, we will just excel, because we will want to maintain the highest standard possible. And that itself pushes people to really perform and deliver that the clients will like.
Right. You know, as a consumer myself, that's what I look for when I make decisions and choices. So, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Lorna, if people want to contact you, what is the best way to reach you?
Let's see. There's a couple of ways to reach us. We're on the internet, obviously, under continuumhospice.com. You can email us at info@continuumhospice.com. And then if I could, I'd like to give you two phone numbers.
Sure.
One is 510-560-2012. And then the other one is 925-398-7548. And if I could just give you the territories that Continuum Hospice covers, we cover counties. So it's Contra Costa, Alameda, Marin County, Napa, Solano, and Sonoma County. So we have this circle of Continuum Hospice here. And then down south in the San Diego region, we have three more Continuum Hospices. So there's that many in California.
Awesome. Very good, Lorna. We are almost at the end of the show. So any final comments?
Well, I just really appreciate you inviting me on the show, because I believe hospice is very, very important and people need an understanding of what it is. And information is powerful. And even if I just gave a little bit of foundation here, a person can call any hospice. And of course, I'd prefer you call Continuum Hospice, but can get more information and take that information where it leads them.
Excellent. You shared, you know, a lot of good things today, which I'm sure will be helpful in quite a few cases where people are just struggling because they don't know what to do.
Exactly.
And education is the starting point. If we know what options we have, we can go through any difficult phase.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you for sharing this.
Thank you, AJ, for inviting me on the show.
My pleasure. So listeners, thank you for joining us on Business by the Bay today. This show was brought to you by Payroll Vault. We hope that you enjoyed the show, and you can find the recording of the show on our website, businessbythebay.live. Please feel free to contact us in case you have any questions. You may send us an email at info@businessbythebay.live. Take care and have a wonderful weekend.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.